Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Proverbs chapter 17, verse 23. Now, this should be a very self-explanatory verse of Scripture. There should be no problem in you understanding this at all. And yet, it is a very, very important verse of Scripture as a commentary on perhaps the condition of some people in our country. And also, you know, Christians may be prone to this from time to time and need to be very careful. The subject today is bribes. Bribes. Proverbs 17, verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. A wicked man, that tells you what kind of man he is. A good man wouldn't do this. A wicked man would. What will a wicked man do? He'll take a gift out of the bosom, and he's got a motive. He's got a purpose. It's not that he's just trying to give somebody something because he likes them. He taketh the gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. He has a motive. The kind of man he is, he's wicked. The kind of method he uses, a gift. The motive, to pervert the ways of judgment. This is the case of a man who is willing to pay to influence another man's judgment in a matter. It could be a court case or any matter that a man is trying to decide. It could be that one man has influence over the distribution of contracts or funds, for instance, and another man wants to have access to those, so he pays the man that has the authority. Could be that it would be like in a lending situation where a loan officer has the opportunity to make a decision whether or not to approve a loan, and the guy pays a bribe in order to get the loan approved when ordinarily he wouldn't get approved, or he gets a favorable rate, and the man who makes the decision actually pockets the money. It doesn't go to his corporation. It is a bribe because it has influenced the outcome of the decision. He would not have made the decision the way that he made it unless he personally had some way to benefit. So a politician could be bought off. A judge could be bought off. An officer could be bought off. Anything like that. It's a bribe. All right, now, when the wicked man wants a favorable decision, and he wants to try to get that favorable decision, he will pay money or offer services or something to influence the outcome of the decision favorably toward him. And it is illegal. The bribe, by definition, is an illegal payoff. Now, let's go through and look at some verses of Scripture so we can understand exactly what God says about this. We know what Solomon says. He says a man that'll do a thing like that is a wicked man. But now let's look and see what the Bible has to say about this to see if, in fact, these things are allowed or to see if these things, in fact, are not allowed as far as God is concerned. All right, now the first place we want to look is Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8. All right, in Exodus chapter 23, 8, the Bible says, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." God accepts that as a standard practice, somebody is going to want to offer you a gift. Let's say you're a person in a position of authority. Somebody is going to want to offer you a gift in order to influence you to make a decision that is favorable toward them, to give them an unfair advantage over everybody else. Okay? So in Exodus chapter 23, 8, God says, when that happens, "Thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous." God said, you know what? You can't accept that gift without that gift causing you to make a bad decision, to pervert the words of righteousness, or to blind the eyes, to make you look the other way. Now, this kind of thing happens all the time. Let's say in contract business, three or four guys are bidding on a particular contract. It is possible for one of the men that's bidding to know the other fella with the company that they're bidding with, who is in charge of awarding the bids, and it's possible for them to go out and eat. That's not a bribe if they're discussing the business. Go on a hunting trip together. Buy him a brand new car. You see, the area gets a little gray and a little fuzzy. At what point does the guy who is being treated so well finally say, "Whoa, man, that is enough. You want this job so badly that you're actually doing things for me that you would not have otherwise done because I'm the one in charge of making the decision." And eventually the decision gets clouded because the guy has been paid so well personally, he can't help but award the contract, make the decision in favor of this guy. And you know, you wonder about that. Well, what's the solution here? The solution is you're not to take the gift. At some point in time, if you don't have a policy in your company, you ought to have a policy in your company that says, a business luncheon, that's okay. A present at Christmas, you know, something that's within a modest price range, that's okay. But, a brand new car, that's not okay. That's maybe they want to put a monetary value on it or something like that, because you don't want to be adversely or inappropriately influenced in the favor of somebody that's trying to influence you. God said, don't do it. Thou shalt take no gift. It's a command of God. All right, now look in Deuteronomy chapter 16 at verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 16, look at verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. They're all in the same category. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. A gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. All right. In other words, a man may have enough wisdom to make the decision that he has to make, or the man may have no question in his mind what the right decision is, and then he'll make a judgment, and that judgment will be wrong or contrary to wisdom, and then you got to scratch your head and say, now how did he come up with a decision like that? And then you start looking behind the thing, you realize there's been some sort of a payoff. Now, frankly, I realize that in this country we have the right to vote, okay? And people cherish that right because they are able to cast individually who it is they want to run for a particular political office. But I've always been concerned lately, particularly, about the way this particular process works in our country because of two things. Number one, the high levels of political contributions that have to be made in order to get the guy elected, that is, to get the media campaign and all that. Real concerned about that process, and also real concerned about the lobbyist activity. And here's why. You know, most of us are not in a position financially to be able to make any sizable contributions that would catch the attention of a political candidate. I mean, just don't have the wherewithal to do it, or if we did, maybe we don't really like that type of thing, okay? Now, on the other hand, there are people who know ways to make very large contributions to politicians, and I know there are certain limitations, and then there are certain things that are allowed. All right, now, don't you know, in the case of a politician who needs to be elected, if somebody comes to a $5,000 a plate supper and pays that kind of money in order for him to be able to buy the advertising, the politician is going to feel obligated to that individual or those individuals that have paid that kind of money to help get him elected. Now, they may not be representative of everybody else in the man's district, certainly of a lot of people who can't afford that kind of money for political contributions. Well, in the event then that the politician is inclined to do special favors just for that constituency, not that voted him in, but that paid the money so that he could buy the advertising to get voted in, and the rest of the people are just basically, you know, they turn a deaf ear, then that could be a real problem. And I'm not saying, hey, Now, I'm not saying that all politicians do that by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know their political habits one way or the other, and I can't say about one that I know or don't know that he's doing anything or not doing anything. The point, very simply, is within the system, there is the opportunity that the gift could be used to pervert judgment in order for a politician to make a decision that may not be in the best interest of everybody else, but might be in the best interest of some of his friends. Now, that certainly, though our system certainly leaves that possibility, and there are certainly cases that you have heard from time to time about that very thing. And the problem is that the system is based upon not only the vote, but also the gift, you see. And then the same may be true also of lobbyists who may be working out special deals with politicians for certain favors for the people that he's lobbying for. And again, you know, there's things that surface from time to time in the news that you hear about concerning that very thing. And to me, that there's too much open opportunity in that type of system for the gift to pervert judgment, see? Too much opportunity for the gift to blind the eyes of the wise, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 16:19. So that's one of those systems that, based upon the way it's operating right now, this text says if you happen to be in one of those positions, you got to be awfully careful that your wisdom and your righteous judgments are not perverted by political contributions or favors that are done exclusively for you for the benefit of awarding the person doing the favor. You got to be a person with a very high integrity to do that with this kind of system that makes it so possible to be corrupted. Now, I heard of a case one time, and I don't have all of the details. What I'm going to tell you never was published, but it's just something that I heard in conversation, and it's kind of an interesting thought. Judges run campaigns to get elected. And one time, a very strange court case in a lower court was overruled at the appellate level, and it turns out that the firm representing the appellant had contributed substantially more heavily to the campaign of the judge that ruled in their favor than the firm of the defendant. And the case was ruled in the favor of the appellant, and it was ruled on something that was not even provided by law. It was overturned on the failure of a judge to allow hearsay evidence in the court. That's a very strange thing. The question has always been in the mind of the person that told me, and always in my mind, was the judge, I'm not saying that he was, but was the judge influenced by the level of campaign contributions made by the firm who was awarded the decision? Strange. It's possible. And with a system like that, see, it is very easy, number one, to be corrupted by the gift, or number two, to always have that cloud of suspicion hanging over the head whether the person was actually influenced by the gift or not. Tough situation. The Bible says, don't take the gift. Now, certainly, that's the way that system is now, you know, set up. There are a lot of places where the system's not set up that way, and if you have been offered a gift in order to make a decision that's more favorable to somebody else than would have been made if the gift had not been offered, don't take it. Don't take it. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 8, and look at verse 3. You see, the Bible has a lot of practical wisdom in it. People think it's just a religious book, and they think it's just a book on how to get saved. But I'll tell you, this is a Bible that right here will tell you how to live. I told some folks when I was back in the banking business, if I had been a Bible reader from the time that I started in the banking business and had read it a couple of times a year, each year that I'd been in the business, I would have been a far better banker than I was without knowing some of the things the Bible says. 1 Samuel chapter 8, look at verse 3. All right, this is about Samuel's sons. The Bible says his sons walked not in his ways. In other words, they didn't They didn't handle affairs in the country the way that Samuel did. They didn't walk in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. They could be bought off, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Well, you know, when Samuel's sons did that, the people in Israel really got upset about it. The elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel to Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. Those boys, because of the way they took bribes and the way they were in the ministry for money, sound like anything you're familiar with today? In the ministry for money? I'm telling you, honestly, the way some of these guys talk, you think that's all they're interested in. And the way they spend it, you think that's all they're interested in. It's really harmed the cause of Christ the way some men who are in the ministry have solicited funds for their personal use and then used those funds in a way that you wouldn't find acceptable. It's sad. All right, well, the elders of Israel felt the same way, and they finally said, hey, enough of this. Get us a king. We don't want to be under the judges. And what fouled it up? They were taking bribes. And those men were charged with the responsibility of making fair judgment. And God was very specific about how he wanted fair judgment to be made in Israel. Moses had been judging the people when he was leading them out of Israel. There were elders appointed to judge them. Aaron and his sons were charged with the responsibility of passing judgment for the sake of the people and to judge righteously. And here these guys said, we don't care whether we make the right judgment or not. We'll take the money. We'll take the money. And they profited by their position. One time, I remember hearing a story of a judge who was sitting on the bench. And truly, I believe this was a joke, okay? Now, it may reveal a truth, but it was a joke. A fella came in and he talked to the judge and he says to him, look, the outcome of this case is very important to me and I'm willing to pay money in order for you to rule in my favor. The judge said, how much are you willing to pay? He said, I'm willing to pay you $25,000 to rule in my favor. And the judge said, okay, and took the money. When the fella came into the court, the judge ruled against him. And after the judgment was entered into the docket, the young man came up to the judge and he goes, wait a minute, I thought we had a deal. You told me that you'd rule in my favor for $25,000. What happened? And the judge smiled. He said, your opponent paid me $50,000 to rule in his favor. And that's kind of how Samuel's boys were handling things in Israel. And it turned the country against God's method of judgment. And they said, give us a king. And you know, they got the king Saul. And Saul really did a lot to wreck the country and instituted some things, frankly, that caused the captivity 490 years later. One of the things he instituted was a tribute that actually kept the people so financially burdened that they had to start working that seventh year of the Sabbath, you know, because the only payment they had to make up until that time was the tithe. And so they had to start working that seventh year. And if you'll count the number of years, they skipped 70 Sabbaths from the time of Saul until the Babylonian captivity. And that happened because they ended up with this king here that put in that tribute. All right, now turn to Amos chapter 5, verse 12. Amos chapter 5, verse 12. And we'll see another case. Amos chapter 5 and verse 12. The Bible says, for I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. And they turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. All right, what did he say? Manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. So what kind of sin is a bribe? It is a mighty sin. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Isn't that something? Bribes are listed in the Old Testament as mighty sins. You know, in doing personal work, you've heard me say this before, but you'll talk to a guy and he'll say, well, I hadn't shot anybody. And I hadn't committed adultery. And you know, I don't steal. Okay. But he never says, I don't take bribes. Of course, he probably never thought about it. Might not have even thought that God ever had a comment on it in the Bible. And yet we've looked at Proverbs 17:23, Exodus 23:8, Deuteronomy 16:19, 1 Samuel 8:3, Amos chapter 5, verse 12. God had plenty to say about it. And he said in every place, it's wrong. In this case, it is a mighty sin. Does that surprise you? Now then, look in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 28. And notice something that's very, 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 very interesting. In Matthew chapter 28, we're going to begin reading with verse 11. Here's the thing that's interesting. In Jesus' day, the most notable godly people of his day were the Pharisees and the scribes and the chief priests. And when I say they were the most notably religious, the most notably spiritual, that is, they did everything to be seen of men. They outwardly manifested a very righteous life. And the Lord even said that they did. He said, outwardly, like whited sepulchres. You're good to look at. Everything you do on the outside looks fine. But inside, they were terrible, full of dead men's bones and extortion and things like that. Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 11, these guys that prided themselves so much on keeping the Sabbath, on fasting, on keeping the feasts, on providing the sacrifices, the men that prided themselves so much on their legalistic conformity to religious tradition, well, they were a bunch of crooks. Jesus Christ had said in 3 days he was going to rise again. They persuaded Pilate to put a guard at the tomb, a watch, and seal the tomb so that the disciples couldn't steal the body and say that he rose from the dead, and they called him a deceiver. Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 11, now when they were going, that's the ladies going to tell the disciples, behold, some of the watch came into the city. That'd be at least a couple of the soldiers that were there the morning that the stone rolled away and Jesus was gone. Some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. What? That Jesus Christ had raised from the dead, that the angels were there, that the earth had quaked and the stone had been rolled back. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. What those very, very spiritual Pharisees, those so outwardly appearing religious, spiritual giants of Jesus' day do? They paid off the soldiers to lie about the resurrection, saying that the disciples had stolen the body. And they called Jesus Christ the deceiver. Let me tell you something. The most squeaky clean people that you know, religious people that you know, are susceptible to taking and giving bribes. Why? Great temptation associated with this sin in order for things to turn out the way that you want them to. So what's the solution here? Well, the solution is here, don't give a bribe, don't take a bribe. If you feel the temptation to persuade somebody by monetary influence, back away from it like you would from a rattlesnake. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. Shake your hands from holding of bribes. Don't let anybody stick anything in there like that. Samuel stood before his people. He said, if I've taken any bribes, you tell me, I'll pay it off. He hadn't taken any bribes, but he just wanted those folks to know. He's not that kind of man, and don't you be that kind of man. Don't you be that kind of woman. Don't let anybody influence you with money. Like I said, if you're in a company and y'all don't have a good policy on that, establish a policy and then live within that policy. Now, let me give you one example here. This was reported by ABC News. It was reported in February of 2006, and it is a case of corruption that had to do with Representative Randall Cunningham. They called him Duke. And he actually had a scheduled price for the bribes that people had to pay him in order for him to award contracts, multi-million dollar government contracts. All right? Here's the deal. The scale that he had for bribes started at $140,000 and a luxury yacht for a $16 million Defense Department contract. And then for each additional million in contract value, he added an additional $50,000 bribe. And then over $20 million, the rate per million dropped to $25,000. Cunningham, at one point in this, was living on a yacht. It was docked near the Capitol. And he was a member of the House Appropriations Committee for 7 years. And he also served on a subcommittee that provided funding for the Defense Department. When he pleaded guilty, when one of the defense contractors pleaded guilty, he pleaded guilty to giving Duke Cunningham more than $1 million in bribes of cash, cars, and antiques over a four-year period in exchange for more than $150 million in government contracts. That's something else. Now, you see what happens there? Once a man gets started on a deal like that and realizes that he personally can profit by the positions and decisions that he controls, he will use that position not only to exercise his authority, but more importantly, he will use that position to line his pockets. And once people know that he can be bought for money, he'll take that money every time. Now, I had personal experience of this when I was a kid. I was checking moisture content on grain being stored in a grain elevator. And I was offered food, money, alcoholic beverages, if I would lie about the amount of moisture content in the grain that was getting ready to be stored. The men had to be docked a certain fee for drying that grain so that it wouldn't ferment in storage. And they were trying to pay me off with money, food, and alcoholic beverages if I would cheat in order to get that done. I was only 17 years old at the time. And early on, I saw how people use this kind of thing to pad their own pockets. Now, thank God, I didn't take that deal. I was warned about it by the guy that ran the company, and I knew what to do. I'm just telling you now what God had to say about it. Don't take a bribe. If you've ever been in that position before, don't do it. And if you're in a position now to write a policy for your company, do that and stay clear of it. That's not the way to do business. You and I have got more access to what we need by praying to God than we do by trying to influence people with cash like that. Don't get started and don't take it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.